following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of AM 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel Broadcasting. Listeners should not use Dr. Kavitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kavitko on AM 1230 WYTS. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kavitko on AM 1230 WYTS.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. We're here on AM 1230 WYTS, and I'd like to welcome all of my new listeners. That would be those people who forgot about daylight savings time, and you're up, and here I am. I'm on the radio. Or those people who have young children or pets who don't know it's daylight savings time, and they woke you up anyway, didn't they? So anyway, welcome. I hope you enjoy the show. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. So, before we get started on the topic of today, and by the way, our topic today is going to be a continuation of last week's show, and that topic was how to survive the current economic crisis with your teeth intact. So, we're going to be giving some hints. We're going to be asking for some of your own hints on how to save money on dentistry and keeping your teeth healthy. And don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call. It's 821-1230. I know that, for instance, a few weeks ago, we had a gentleman on who his dentist told him that he needed gum surgery, had 10-millimeter pockets, and he was afraid of surgery, possibly that, maybe the cost, whatever, but instead of having the surgery, he went home, he bought a water pick, and he started water picking his teeth on a regular basis, and a month later, when he went back to the office, the dentist checked his gums again and told him his pockets were now only 5 millimeters, and therefore he did not need surgery. But that was a story that, as he told it, happened, it was 30 years ago, and he never told his dentist what he did. I guess he felt maybe he would have been embarrassed. I'm not sure why. But so if there's a story that you have that you think might be embarrassing, call us anyway, because it's radio. We can't see you. We can give you a fake name if you'd like. And I'd be interested to hear what kinds of things people have come up with or are suggesting for those people looking to save money and survive this current economic crisis with their teeth intact. Before we go on to that topic, though, I want to go over some announcements. I'd like to let all of you know. Please watch Daytime Columbus on March 20th at 11 in the morning on NBC4. That show is hosted by Gail Hogan. And the reason I'm telling you to watch is because I'm going to be on the show. I'm going to show the TV audience how I do my smile makeovers. I'll have a couple of patients with me on the show. One will have their trial smile, and we'll show what she looks like before, and then within a few seconds I'll put the trial smile in, and we'll be able to see what she'll look like after. And then I'll also have another patient who has had some veneers somewhere else years ago, veneers that are a little bit off in color and off in size, and do not enhance her smile, as you would hope. And so what we're going to do is, after we are on television on the 20th of March, between that and April 24th, when I'll be back on Gail Hogan's Daytime Columbus, I'm going to go ahead and redo the veneers on that particular woman, so that we can have her back on again and show everyone what she looks like with her smile makeover done by Dr. Kavitko. Also, on May 2nd and 3rd, and I know I'm getting into the future a little bit, but hey, mark your calendar, why not? My staff and I will participate in Parent Magazine's Family Day at the Zoo. So please stop by, come out and say hello. We are going to be taking names or email addresses, probably email addresses, of people who might be interested in purchasing my book, which is going to be out probably in the summer, maybe late summer or fall, but ready to go to the publisher at the end of May or so. So it'll be almost finished by then. And the name of the book is, a children's book. And Tom, help me out here. No, I'm just kidding. It's dentistry for kids, what every parent should know. So, one more announcement. Oh, actually, there's a couple. I'm proud to say that I've been asked to be a celebrity guest judge for the Ohio State University College of Dentistry Clinical Excellence Day, for the second year in a row. That takes place April 29th, and the senior and, I guess they call them fourth year students, will have put together a presentation of their most difficult case or the case that they are most proud of. And then judges such as myself will go around and rate them. I think it's a great day because it stresses clinical excellence. On March 29th, I will have as a guest on my show the Dean of the Dental School, Dean Carol Anderson. And that will be, you know, leading up to Clinical Excellence Day. And Carol Anderson, Dean Anderson, was just recently appointed dean. She was acting as the interim dean since, I think it was since 2006, and now, just recently, I think it was January of this year, she was appointed the dean, yeah, effective February 1st of 2009, so congratulations to her, and I look forward to having her on the show. She is a great administrator and a great person, and I think she's going to do wonderful things with the dental school. Now, the last announcement, if you will, that I want to mention is to Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. And today's question of the day is, and it has to do a little bit with the cosmetics, because we were talking about the makeover that I'm going to do on television. And so the question of the day is, according to the Eastman Dental Center in Rochester, New York, what percent of all dental work is now considered cosmetic? According to the Eastman Dental Center in Rochester, New York, what percent of all dental work is now considered cosmetic? Okay? You can give us a call at 821-1230. You can send me an email at dentallyspeaking on am1230@yahoo.com. That's dentallyspeaking on am1230@yahoo.com. All right. Before I move forward, and since we've just touched on the cosmetic portion and our question is cosmetic in nature, I wanted to talk a little bit about an article that was in the February 26th Columbus Dispatch. The title was Dentists Weary of Teeth Whitening in Salons. We've touched on this before in the past, and this story was an AP story by Desiree Hunter, and it was in Montgomery, Alabama. Excuse me, and it's about the, you know, you've seen these. They're these whitening kiosks. They're in the malls. They're in Sam's Club. They seem to be everywhere. And the people dress up in white clinic gowns. They look like they're dental assistants, dentists. They have a chair that looks like a dental chair. And there's not a dentist, dental assistant, or dental hygienist to be found anywhere. And here in Ohio, I guess I would have to say, unfortunately, the Ohio Dental Board has okayed whitening by non-dentists as long as the consumers apply the treatment themselves, and that seems to be how these companies get around the rules for providing dental care to patients and being non-dentists. But in Alabama, a judge, this case went to court, and a judge ruled in favor of the Alabama's Dental Board in a lawsuit, excuse me, that was brought by White Smile USA, and they found that whitening constitutes the practice of dentistry and requires a license. Now, I hope that this is the beginning of a watershed of other state dental boards and other judges, I guess, throughout the country, finding the same thing. Because you remember the topic of today is how to survive the current economic crisis with your teeth intact. And so what we're going to be doing is talking about a lot of ways to save money when it comes to your teeth. And I can promise you that going to a kiosk to have your teeth whitened does not save you money. It actually costs you more. And so why don't I make that my first item on this list? Now, why would it cost more? The reason is because a lot of dental offices, a lot of dentists, have started to use their whitening procedure as called a loss leader, I think we all know what that is. You lose money on one thing to get somebody in the door so that you can charge a normal price for something else. And so you'll see ads where it says, you know, new patient exam x-ray or free whitening with a new patient exam x-ray, that sort of thing. But the other thing, the biggest reason you would be wasting your money at a kiosk or salon is because the product they're using in the formula, let's not say the formula, but the method of using it doesn't get your teeth very white. It doesn't even come close to what I have available to me in my office and other dentists as well. And so they will charge you $100, and actually they'll push very hard. I know this because I was part of an undercover investigation once. And they'll push very hard for you to do maybe two of these sessions, three of these sessions, and pretty soon you have now paid more than what you would have paid at your dental office, even if they were charging you full price, and you still don't have white teeth. So, you know, keep that in mind. It is not a cost savings if you are looking to actually have white teeth. If you're looking to say to a friend, hey, I got my teeth whitened for less than at my dentist, and that makes you feel better, that's fine, but I can promise you your friend's going to look at you and they're going to smile and nod and not tell you, but they're going to be thinking privately, yeah, but your teeth don't look very white. So that would be the first item on the list, is to, you know, save your money. If you can't afford to get your teeth whitened by a dentist yet, then wait till the economic crisis passes. Or you know what I mean? Just wait until you can really afford, because you want to spend your money wisely. You wouldn't want to spend money on, say, an asphalt driveway if you knew, in fact, it was an inferior product and the company had never done an asphalt driveway before, because you wouldn't be getting what you really thought you were paying for. Okay. Now, you know, the next thing, and these aren't in any certain order, but I've had some emails that we've received from people who were nice enough to give me their suggestions. Some good, some bad, so we're going to talk about them both. And one would be to use over-the-counter fluoride treatments, okay? Now, last week, I mentioned professional fluoride carriers and prescription-strength gel, which is obviously much better than anything you can get over-the-counter just by design. And the reason that is, by the way, for people that are wondering, why is this over-the-counter and there's prescription-only? Prescription-only products are either too strong or too dangerous to be used without the direction of a medical professional. And there seems to be this feeling out in the public that if a little is good, more is better. And that can be dangerous in the case of certain drugs and certain products. And those then become the products that are behind the counter, that are prescription only. So, fluoride does a great thing for us. It certainly does prevent decay, even in adults. And but you're not to swallow it. So, be sure that you don't swallow it. And the ones that are over the counter, they're rinses. You rinse, you swish, keep it in your mouth for as long as you can, and then spit it out. Okay? So that will greatly decrease or help decrease the incidence of decay to begin with, which is obviously our plan. Now, we received, talking about over-the-counter, we received an emailed suggestion from Terry, who says that she thinks you should use over-the-counter night guards rather than having a dentist fit one for you. Now, a night guard, for those of you that don't know, is an appliance that you wear if you are grinding your teeth, clenching your teeth, you wake up with headaches, your dentist has told you that you have worn teeth, flat spots on your teeth, and you just have this general soreness. And what I'm going to say now is that Terry's suggestion is a bad one, okay? Because to use a night guard, which is also known as a bruxism appliance, if you're going to use one of these things, it has to fit like a glove. And not only does it have to fit in your mouth, it actually has to be adjusted to match up with the lower bite. So the lower teeth have to come together with it properly and in a way that nothing hits before anything else. It's all soft, and it's just basically when your teeth come together, it's a very soft cushioning feel for your muscles and your teeth and your jaws. If you put something in that you bought over the counter, you bought at the store, they're boiling bite, you heat them up and put them in your mouth and make some indentations, it will actually make you worse. It can actually make it worse. Now, you know how you've seen athletes wear mouth guards, and a lot of times they're like hanging out of their mouth, they're biting on them. Those are the ones that are typically not custom fabricated by a dentist. Those are the boil-in bite. They don't really stay in unless their mouth is closed and they're holding their mouth closed. Well, an over-the-counter night guard or bruxism appliance would have the same issues. You would have to, you probably will wake up with it, find it on the floor or under the covers somewhere, for one, which means if it's not in your mouth, it's not doing you any good. But let's say it stays in. You wake up, you're probably going to find yourself with worse joint pain, muscle pain, possibly even a headache, because you were biting on this thing which was most likely holding your mouth open, propping it open, and the muscles want to be able to relax. They want to get into this comfortable state, and they can't because you put this big blob of rubber in there, and it's not designed to be there. So that would not be a way of saving money, having an over-the-counter night guard. They're not very expensive, and I can tell you that if you are getting that kind of pain, you'll save a lot of money by having one made by a dentist rather than having to continually go to your physician and say, I've got these headaches, my jaws are sore, what am I going to do? You'll have several doctor appointments before you realize that it was something that your dentist could have handled. Okay, so moving on. Here is another suggestion. If you are going to use mouthwash, use one that has fluoride in it. Kind of take off on our first comment there. But, you know, if you're not already using mouthwash and you don't want to spend the money on one that happens to have fluoride in it, that would be all right too, because I'd probably prefer you spend the money on the prescription fluoride gel and save your money on the mouthwash. I think in the long run, you'll probably wind up spending a lot less money for your fluoride carriers and the prescription gel. Basically, especially with the benefits it will give you. And, but let's talk about mouthwash for a little bit. Because mouthwash, there are some, and I'm going to name a couple names. Listerine is one that kills bacteria. There's prescription mouthwashes, one known as Paradex, or Clarhexidine, and others that they actually do kill bacteria, so they decrease the number of bacteria in the plaque that are on your teeth. But if you don't have plaque on your teeth, there's no bacteria on your teeth. So mouthwash, in general, is not necessary. That clean, tingly feeling that it gives you after you've used it isn't telling you that your mouth is clean. It's telling you that you have just now chemically burned the lining of your cheeks, and that peels off. Just the other day, I think it was Thursday. This past Thursday, I had a gentleman come in, and we were about to have a long appointment, and being a good guy and a good patient, he felt like it was important that he brush his teeth and floss, and he used mouthwash right before coming in, which was very nice of him. It was midday. Some people don't have time to do that or wouldn't think to do that. But anyway, when he opened up his mouth and I was getting ready to numb him, there were all these white things, stringy things, these like film. It looks kind of, honestly, it looks kind of gross, and I have an assistant who hasn't been a dental assistant all that long, and I asked her if she'd ever seen that. I said, you know what that is? And she didn't. And I said, that is sloughing epithelium from this gentleman's cheeks. And so I said, he probably used mouthwash pretty vigorously before coming in. And I looked at him and I said, did you just use mouthwash? And he goes, yeah, why? And I said, well, you just burned the lining off the inside of your cheeks. And he was kind of amazed by that and taken aback by that. So, but that's the tingly feeling that you get. Anyway, we're going to continue this discussion when we come back after the break. We'll go over more suggestions that we have. Feel free to give us a call at 821-1230 to give us your suggestions or questions that you might have about what would be a way of saving money and making it through this current economic crisis with your teeth intact. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Good morning, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. And you're listening to AM 1230 WYTS. Today we're talking about how to survive the current economic crisis with your teeth intact. And if you have questions about ways you might be able to save money having your dentistry done, or anything that you, maybe you've already done and you want to share with our listeners, please feel free to give us a call. Our number is 821-1230. And the next thing that I wanted to go into is, here's a good way. If you turn yourself into a brushing, flossing, water-picking freak, you're going to save money. In fact, research has shown that you can teach people how to clean their tartar. So let's say you know you have tartar in your teeth, you haven't been in a while, and you still feel like you don't have the money to go. Maybe you lost your job, maybe both you and your wife lost your jobs, and you're just feeling like it's not something that's in the cards. But brushing and flossing and maybe using a water pick don't cost that much. And so if your tartar is clean, at least it won't grow bigger. And and if it grows bigger, of course, it would do more damage to the gums. So if you can keep it from getting any bigger while you are trying to get by this particular downturn, keep it very, very clean. Now, tartar sitting on your teeth, it irritates the tissues. So, and if they stay irritated too long, they move to another neighborhood, so to speak, and you actually get gum disease. In fact, you probably already have some. But if you can really, really get down in there, on a regular basis, you can kind of stave off the progression. You can't make the gum grow back, but you could potentially keep it from getting worse while you are in this position, while you're in this situation, financial situation. So, tartar forms, by the way, from plaque. Plaque is that soft, kind of a white, whitish film, which is a mixture of bacteria, little bits of food. It's called materia alba. But what happens is if that material is left alone, it can calcify within 24 hours. Now, calcified plaque is known as calculus to a dentist, and it's known as tartar in the real world, okay? So we're talking about the same thing. And you just make sure you're really, really doing a good job. And if you just can't come in, that's what you need to be doing. Now, there are some people out there who are afraid of the dentist, and they're going to say, oh, I don't have to go now. I'm afraid anyway. I have the money, but I'm not going because I'm afraid. I'm just going to brush my tartar. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about really, truthfully, people who are down and out right now and can't afford it. I'm just saying as a temporary stopgap measure, that's what you should do. You can't do this forever, but with any luck, you'll still have teeth when you do finally come in. All right, the next item on the list here of suggestions is be sure to use all of your insurance benefits every year so as to minimize your personal outlay. Okay? What happens is, well, maybe you don't know this. If you don't use your benefits, you lose them. So I've had people come to me who haven't been to the dentist in, say, 20, 25 years. They're approaching retirement. Maybe they're going to be retiring later this year. And they've decided, well, I'm going to be losing my dental insurance in retirement. I better go get my teeth healthy so that I don't have to worry about that when I am no longer insured. So they'll come in, and you can imagine how much dental work a person might need if they've stayed away for 20, 25 years. And so let's say I'm telling them that they need, a few extractions, a root canal or two, a crown here or there, some fillings, maybe a partial denture. If there are extractions, most likely a partial denture or a bridge. You know, they could be looking at anywhere from a few thousand dollars to 20 or more thousand dollars. And they say, no problem, I have insurance. Well, And so I've never used my insurance in the whole 25 years I worked there. So they're thinking the insurance company is going to pay for their care. And then they have this rude awakening that insurance is only going to pay whatever their yearly maximum is, which happens to be $1,000 in most cases. And they get actually angry. Because they say, you mean I've been having this taken out of my check for 25 years, and now that I want to use it, I only get $1,000? And the answer is yes. So don't do that. I mean, make sure you come in, have your exams, have the x-rays, have the cleaning, and once we find out what you need, go ahead and schedule. And if money is so tight that you can only afford a certain amount at a time, and I have people do this all the time, they'll say, well, you know, if I have three teeth that need done, and, you know, let's say it's November now, how about, can I do one tooth now, and then two teeth in January when my insurance rolls over again? And the answer is, in most cases, yes. Now, there are some cases where, you know, your toothache just can't wait, and you have to bite the bullet and do it. But in a lot of cases, you can put things off for a month or two or three until your insurance rolls over. Now, realizing that it's not a lot of money that they're going to kick in, but hey, a discount coupon is a discount coupon, and I don't think there's anybody out there that's above using a discount coupon if it's handed to them. So, I know I'm not. All right. Next up, actually, it's just about time to go to the break, so I think when we come back, we're going to talk about whether you should skip cleanings, we're going to talk about whether or not you should have sealants, types of toothpaste, does chewing gum help, does water help, what about sugar, things like that. And I want everybody to know, keep in mind, our show is available by podcast, and to do that, you go to www.am1230wyts.com, and once you're there, hold your mouse over the on-air button. A list of names that are on air come up. Choose Dr. Kvitko. That takes you to my podcast page. I'm sorry, it takes you to my page, and from there, there's a spot that says click here to go to podcast page. So you'll be able to listen to the show again. You can send that information to a friend or a family member in case you would like them to hear it as well. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back.
You make me smile, please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on AM 1230 WYTS. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. And today we're talking about how to survive the current economic crisis with your teeth intact. So we're giving suggestions on ways to save money, ways not to save money on your dental care, meaning there are certain things that don't save you money, but you might think they would, and others that you may not have thought of. And we're willing to, somebody has a question about this, if you have a suggestion, feel free to give us a call, 821-1230, or you can send us an email to dentallyspeaking on am1230. At yahoo.com. Now, Dr. Kvitko's question of the day today is, I'm going to go over it, and then we're going to give some of the emailed guesses that came in. The question is, according to the Eastman Dental Center in Rochester, New York, what percent of all dental work is now considered cosmetic? And we've had guesses from Bob. Bob guesses 10%. Della sent us an email of 30%. And Alex called in with a guess of 42%. And well, no one has hit it yet, so we will keep your guesses coming in, and we'll give the answer later in the show. Okay, now, we talked about whether you should skip cleanings or not, because you might think, well, there's a way to save money. And I'm going to say the general answer would be no. But there are some people who do a very, very good job of cleaning their teeth through brushing, flossing, water pick, and other aids. And if somebody were to come to me and say, Doc, money's really tight, am I one of those people that maybe could get by with maybe one cleaning a year? I would give them an honest assessment, and if they're one of those folks, I would say, yes, you are, but just be real careful. the majority, the vast majority of people should not skip a cleaning, because it's the cleanings that are and the exams that are going to really honestly allow you to save money. Now make sure you're going to an office that does a thorough cleaning. If you're getting your cleaning and everything else done in 30 minutes, there's a good chance some things were missed. There are certain things you just can't rush, and that's one of them. So if you're seeking out inexpensive cleaning to save money, and you think you're leaving with clean teeth, I can show you pictures of cases where that's not the case. In fact, it's the opposite. I've known of cases where hygienists were given so little time to do the job, then they asked the office, well, what if I can't get the teeth clean in that time frame? And the answer they were given was, don't worry, we'll get it next time. Well, that's ridiculous, because if you can't get it off in 30 minutes this time, there's going to be even more there next time, 6 months down the road, and you're not going to have time to get it off then either. So don't skip the cleanings unless you have checked with your dentist or a dentist to be sure that you're one of those people that would be okay while doing that, and make sure that you are getting a thorough cleaning when you do, and be very, very good. Now, keep in mind, you know what, I have people all the time, they'll say, well, I brush 10 times a day, and I'll say, I believe you. But you're probably doing it almost like you have this certain pattern that you do that you don't even think about. I think we all do this. You start with your front teeth, you go to the upper right, blah, blah, blah. But what you don't realize is you're probably missing a few spots, and if you miss the same spot every day, you've never brushed that spot, ever. And so then people wonder how they can get cavities, how do they get gum disease when they brush 10 times a day. Well, that's how. So keep those things in mind. The next would be sealants. Many of you adults have sealants or got them when you were children. Some don't know what I'm talking about. And what that is a sealant is placed typically in children when they get their adult teeth, usually the first molars, all four of them. Baby teeth, children's teeth, typically primary teeth, don't have to be sealed. They seem to have more resistant enamel, although there's nothing wrong with it. So if you're looking to save money in the long run, sealants are a good idea. Sealants are a thin plastic coating that is bonded into the grooves and valleys of the chewing surfaces of your teeth, and in some cases, on the cheek side of a tooth, there's this little pit that can get decayed, so that gets sealed as well. Sealants cost about a third of what a filling might cost, and can prevent the need for a filling in that tooth, at least on that surface. And so if you have some money to spend right now, and you want to prevent decay, sealants are a great investment. If you don't have money to spend right now, then you'll just have to do really well at cleaning those biting surfaces, eating foods that are self-cleansing, like raw carrots and so on, and staying away from sticky foods like raisins and white bread, okay? But if at all possible, you should get your teeth sealed, even if you're an adult. If they weren't done as a child, that's okay. Come on in, get some sealants. I think you can get 3 sealants for the cost of 1 filling, and there's no numbing and no drilling, so it makes a lot of sense to have your teeth sealed. Okay? Next, and I mentioned Listerine earlier when we were talking about mouthwashes. Listerine Agent Blue. There's a product called Listerine Agent Blue, and it will show you where you didn't brush. It stains the plaque so that you can look in there and see where you're missing. And this is great for adults and children, maybe even especially children, because you're trying to teach children how to brush thoroughly. You know, remember, regularly isn't the only thing to consider. You have to be thorough. So if you use the Listerine Agent Blue, it'll show you where you missed, and that allows you to go back and brush some more. So you want to, because after all, this is all about prevention. This is like, you know, people who take good care of their car. They wash it, they get the oil changed, and they do that so that they can keep the car longer, because it's a lot more expensive to have a new car payment than it is to take good care of your used car, and therefore keep it longer. So, and guess what? If you keep your car longer and you don't have a new car payment, you're going to have some money to have your teeth fixed. So there's going to be a dual benefit there. All right, we have to go to another break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on AM 1230 WYTS. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. And our show topic today is how to survive the current economic crisis with your teeth intact. And so we're going over suggestions and comments that I've obtained through emails and talking to folks about how to do that. Before I go on, let me reiterate the question of the day. The question of the day, Dr. Kavitko's question of the day, is, according to the Eastman Dental Center in Rochester, New York, what percent of all dental work is now considered cosmetic? And we've had a couple more guesses come in. We had Holly choose, or rather guess, 39%, and Carlo, 50%. There's always a comedian in the bunch, isn't there? There's always somebody that chooses 50%, because they figure they got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. Anyway, none of those are correct, but I'm going to go ahead and give the answer now because I see there are so many things I want to go over that I'm afraid I'll forget. The answer to that question is 30%. 30% of all dental work is now considered cosmetic. That's a little bit higher number than I thought. Although in my practice it's much higher, but still, that shows that people are finally starting to understand the value of having a great smile. How it can help you in your personal life, your business life, and just your overall well-being. I mean, it feels good to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and like what you see. So, there you have it. Now, let me just see. I want to make sure I get through a lot of these. These are some pretty important ones here. One is, if you're trying to save money, you could use silver amalgam fillings instead of composite. You may already know that I believe amalgams are safe. I know they're safe. They're not pretty, and we wouldn't use them in your front teeth, but they're cheaper, they last longer, and there is no reason to not have a silver amalgam placed. The composites look nice, and that's pretty much it. People with composite restorations tend to get more decay and need them replaced more often. Here's one, and I imagine there'll be some dentists out there not happy with me for this one, but you can ask for a discount for cash. Now, what you do is, we're not talking about a big discount, because, you know, bills are bills, and I know in my case my bills are the same whether my patients pay me in cash or not. However, if you use your credit card, let's say your Visa, MasterCard, or Discover, your dental office is going to have to give about 1.2 to 1.5, maybe 1.6% of that to the credit card company. If you use your American Express, they'll have to give 2.9% to the credit card company. So when you go in and you pay your dentist $100 for $100 of service, and you use your American Express card, they only get $97.10. So you might say, and with the other cards, and that's why, by the way, when you go to a lot of stores, they'll say, well, we take Visa and MasterCard. And you say, you don't take American Express? They'll say, no. And the reason is because it's called a discount fee, which seems like a misnomer to me. It sounds like a bill. But anyway, they'll say, nope, we just take Visa and MasterCard. Well, even Visa and MasterCard and Discover still charge the merchant a fee to accept that card. And so maybe you could get 1% off. Maybe you could get, if you have a $100 bill, I guess 1% is only a dollar, but if you have a larger bill, you might get them to knock a couple percent off. And, you know, hey, money's money, so it's worth a try. Okay, I have so many that I want to try to make sure I get through the most important ones. Here's one that's kind of neat. This was a suggestion from a mom that she sent us an email, and she reminded me that for children who are getting their teeth and are teething, you know, you buy these teething rings, and they now have teething rings that have little bristles on them. And so your child will actually wind up cleaning their teeth while they're using their teething ring, and that's pretty cool. I think that would be a great idea. The other one would be, here's one. What if I have been told to get my wisdom teeth out, but I can't afford it right now? Okay. That's a real good question. And the answer is that it depends. If all of your teeth, if all of your wisdom teeth are impacted, completely buried by tissue, and you want to wait a little bit, assuming they're not really crooked and pushing, making your other teeth crooked, you probably can. Now, the younger you are when you have them out, the less traumatic it is, the shorter the healing time. Everything just seems to go a lot smoother if you have it done somewhere between the ages of 16 and 18. But if you can't afford it right now, or you can't afford your child to have it right now, and they have not poked through, you could put that off for a little bit. If you notice the teeth starting to get crooked, the lower especially, because the teeth are pushing in, you may want to get in right away. Or ask your dentist, say, hey, can I wait on this for a while, a year? I think I'll have a job by then and maybe insurance again. And they'll be honest with you. But here's the thing. If, especially on a lower, if the tooth has poked through a little bit, even just a little bit, so there's this tiny little opening, you probably can't wait on that one, because what'll happen is food and bacteria will get down inside there, and you'll get infections. It'll get sore, it'll swell. So, you can wait in most cases, though. And you can also do one tooth at a time. You could just do the bad one, save the money on not have the other three done yet. In the long run, you'll probably pay more, because you'll be sedated twice, and there'll be double sedation charges, you know, for visit one and visit two. But if you don't have the money now, you don't have it. So there's a way to save some. What about skipping an exam per year? What about skipping one exam? And, you know what, we're going to cover that when we come back from the break. So that'll be our next topic when we return. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on AM 1230 WYTS. Thanks for joining me this morning. We're talking about how to survive this economic crisis with your teeth intact. And we're giving lots of suggestions as to ways to save money when things are really, really tight. And I'm afraid that I'm going to run out of time before I get through all of these. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to run through several of them. I'm going to give the, I'm just going to give them out, and then I'll go back and expand on some of them if we have time. All right, so here we go. I said before the break that we were going to talk about, can you skip an exam per year? Well, if you check with your dentist and see if you're one of those people that is always healthy and you seem to just be doing a good job, there probably are instances where you can skip an exam. Most people, that would not be the case. And if you skip an exam and you let things happen that could have been caught last year, and it's going to end up costing you more. So probably not a good idea, but in some people it would. Okay, so what about putting off cavities and getting them fixed? Like, you know you have a cavity, but you can't afford to have it fixed. Ask your dentist which one is the worst. And there is an opportunity here. If it's not so deep that it's close to the nerve now, you could let it ride for a little while. But remember, decay doesn't hurt, so you're not going to get any indication. You do need to keep checking with your dentist and let them look. What if they have gum disease and your dentist or periodontist has suggested gum surgery? Can this wait? The answer is not really, although we did talk about really brushing and really flossing and water picking, whatever it is. And so you could potentially stay in a static state and still be okay, although it might be worse. So if your teeth are already, if it's already advanced or moderate, you might not want to put it off. If it's mild, you probably could. Here somebody wrote, I had a toothache and was going to go to a dentist, even though I couldn't afford it right now, but then the pain went away. Is that okay to not go? After all, I will save money by not going, correct? Well, here's what's happened. The fact that your pain went away means that your toothache, which had gone into the nerve to begin with and now gave you pain, the nerve has now died, or the abscess tooth, which is probably what you're dealing with, has found a way to drain into a fistulous tract, so you have this little area where pus would be dripping out of your gum. And I'm going to say that that's probably not a good thing to do, to wait when you know for a fact that you have an abscess, or you probably do based on what these symptoms are. I think you should at least go in, have the exam, and find out, and tell the dentist, hey, I just lost my job, don't really have a lot of money right now, what can I do, or what should I do? And you might be surprised. There are some temporary things that we can do to help people through these times. Use only ADA-approved toothpastes. That's a good one. Don't skimp on off-brand toothpastes. ADA-approved toothpastes have been tested. We know they work. We know the fluoride in there is available to your teeth and will actually help. Here's another. Chew gum after you eat. Those gums that have xylitol in them will actually decrease plaque formation. Drink lots of water. A dry mouth is more prone to succumbing to dental decay. And a lot of medications cause dental decay because they dry up your mouth. Don't drink or eat a lot of sugary items. Of course, those all lead to tooth decay. And then the last one is making sure that when your teeth are forming, when kids' teeth are forming, that they get a lot of vitamin D, a lot of milk. However, keep in mind that your body needs calcium. It will take it from your bones long before it ever gets it from your teeth. So you would have to have rickets, severe calcium deficiency, before your body would ever rob your teeth of calcium. So there you go. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in next Sunday morning at 9. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS.